We do come before the Lord with open hearts to just receive from you today. So God has a message on my heart and for the body of Christ today. Let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Grab your outlines, open your Bibles to Ephesians 5 as we look at verses 15 through 21 this morning. Give you a moment to find your place there and get your outlines out. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, a message I've entitled Family Relationships. Well, you've heard so far, you know, all the way through the service, like I said earlier, we are preaching through the month of June on family as our focus. And our desire in doing that is to encourage the families, the individual families, to live for God, to be helped by God as we would live our lives to glorify Him, and as a family of God, that we would do the same thing. So what we're doing is I'm dropping into Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21, and so we're going to pull out these five principles that apply to our family relationships. So if you look at your outline, it's there, and these principles were written to the body of Christ, to the church. These principles apply to us in living for Christ. And what we're going to focus in on, we're going to make the application is what it is to our individual families. So we're going to look at five principles, and the application going to be to our individual families, how they apply to us in our relationships at our home. So what we need to do first is really kind of set the context for these verses. We're going to drop right in the middle of an epistle, and some things are written. We need to see the context so we understand how this, you know, what's this saying and what these truths of God are. And it's important for us to see the context from these verses. So look at your outline with me. We'll begin in Ephesians 4, verse 1, so we understand the context. The Apostle Paul writes, chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you all, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called." So what he begins here is that we understand, since we understand the truth of our salvation, chapters 1 through 3, what God did, grace, mercy, all of those kind of things. Therefore, that's what that pushes back to. Since we understand the truths of our salvation, it says, let's walk in a manner worthy of God's saving grace. That's what he's encouraging us to do. And he says, you all of us, together, yes, individually, yes, as the body of Christ, because it's very relational what he's talking about. So let us walk in a manner worthy of God's saving grace. And then verse 2 through 16, he talks about relationships within the church family. Look at verse 2 and 3. He says this, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, he's talking to all of us, right? It's all relational. Right? He wants us to live this. So therefore, we understand our salvation. We're to walk in a manner worthy of God's saving grace. We're to live a certain way and relational in the church family. Then in verses 17 through 32, it's all about relationship with the old life, new life. 17 says, "So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you live. Those what the words are, daily. No longer just as the Gentiles, the lost people also walk in futility of their mind, emptiness of their thoughts." We're not to walk that way in the relationship of our old life, but in a relationship with our new. Verse 24, "We're to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth." We have a relationship with this new life we have in Christ. So the old life we have a relationship with. The new life we have a relationship with, I want you to capture this, right? He's talking about relationships, all of us. The epistle's written that way. Then if we look at chapter 5, verse 1 and following, he tells us this, therefore, all this is true, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Live in love, live in a life of love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Then in verse 8, he says this, "We're to walk as children of light, live as children of light. For you were formerly darkness," verse 8, chapter 5, "but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light." So we're setting the context, what we're talking about. But the application focus is going to be on our family. So he says, therefore, we're to live our life walking in love. And then we're to live our life walking as children of light, as the light of Christ. Two things he says that we're going to be doing. We're going to be living in this new life that we have. Now we drop into verse 15. So we're to be walking and living in a manner worthy of God's grace. We walk in love. We walk as light. Now in verse 15, look at it. Therefore is what he says, and what I want you to just think about, if you turn your outline over, therefore, in your family relationships, our focus of application, therefore, in your relationships of husbands and wives, therefore, in relationships of parents and children, of siblings, of brothers and sisters, of grandparents to grandchildren, of aunts and uncles to nieces and nephews, of our family relationship, therefore, since we have these truths, we're trying to walk in love as children of light in these relationships. Apply these five principles. Look at them, what they are. Look carefully how you walk. Make the most of your time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Constantly yield to God's Spirit. Order your relationships according to God's Word. Those five principles are applying to our families today. Now, obviously, they apply to all of our life and everything we do, but that's where our focus is going to be. Where the application is going to be on our individual families and those relationships, like I said. Husbands to wives, parents to children, siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles. It's our focus. These five principles. So we want to capture what God says and what he's saying to us today as we would focus really on our families and be encouraged and strengthened to be helped for us to live in a right manner, to be a light of Christ. So the first principle, to look carefully how you live or how you walk. Look for at me in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men or women, but as wise. Again, I want to repeat it so we get the context. Therefore, since we are to walk in love with our families, since we are to walk as children of light with our families, we're to be careful on how we walk. It couldn't be any more simpler than that, could it? What it means to look carefully or be careful, that's what it says in the text. This is an imperative from God. This is a command of God. Be careful or look carefully is how that look is. We're to be careful on how we walk, how you live. You're to look carefully. You're to see. That's what it's saying. You're to see the way you are living and be careful how you're living. It says pay attention to how you live. See where you're going. See what you're doing. In our families, we cannot just let life run us over. You guys would agree with that, right? We just can't run us over. We do this, we move to that. This is the next, the next, the next. Any parent ever have that problem going on in your family? The next, the next, and life's running you over. We got to go here, we got to go here, we got to go here. We got to do this, this is next. We got to go here, they got this, that. We're to be looking carefully, seeing carefully. We're to be paying attention to how we're living our life. It's a good encouragement, a good admonishment to the church, to our individual families. We're to pay attention, recognize how they are being lived, what we're living for. We are to notice carefully how we live. So I want to illustrate that for you. So I need two kids under 12 to come help me illustrate this. Who's going to volunteer? Come up and help me. I got prizes today, okay? So I need two kids to, you two, come on up. Just pick two of you. Come up here because there's going to be, there we go. We got one here, one more. Come up. Come on up. Over there, guys, over by the piano. Okay, here's the prizes. We can have three. Come on up. I'm good. I got 20 prizes today. I'm ready. Okay, so I want you to look carefully on how you walk. And you guys are going to look. You're going to pay attention. You're going to have wisdom. And I want you to look carefully. Get right here. And so you got to walk over and get your prize. But let me tell you when to go, okay? Because I want you to pay careful attention to how you walk. Okay? You got to look carefully on how you walk. Okay? Look at that. Those are all tacks and thumbtacks and all kinds of things. You guys need to look carefully on. Now, if they don't look carefully, are they in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
You guys got to look carefully, and I think if you just pay attention to wisdom, you'll see how you can walk carefully over there and to go ahead and get your prize. And when you do, you can go ahead and go sit down. So go ahead, look carefully on how you walk. Not as wise or unwise, but as wise. Let's give them a big round of applause for your part of the illustration. Now, you can see simply, right, if you're living your life and you aren't paying attention, right, sometimes we just walk right all the way through it, right? Like me, I can step on it, right? And I had a hard time with this. I wanted to get thumbtacks because they would all stand up, right? And then I said, no, I can't do that. I got to get pushpins. And see, they had some wisdom. They looked down there and said, none of them are standing up. That's good. But if they would have paid attention, here was the wise thing to do. You just would have went this way. And you just would have came and you just said, wise. But see, you see the point, God's word? If you're just living life and it's just life's happening and we're just going along, if you don't believe that this world is this, and you living as in love and you walk and your family's walking as children of light and your family learning how to love each other and how you're living this, you just can't live, okay? That's the point. God says you just can't show up every morning and live. You got to live carefully, look carefully. It says in the next verse, the days are evil. What that means is that everything in this world and what's going on is against you being a light and walking in love. And we got to have wisdom. We find God's wisdom in the Word of God. You guys know that, but we have to have wisdom. We want to teach our kids to have some wisdom, to look where you're going. How many of them walk into the screen door and walk into the... How many of us older ones have forgot that you got to look for the screen door, okay? We just had a bunch of people over at my house, knocked it off three times. I was getting very frustrated. It's like, it's all bent. And I'm just like, gee, what's going on? Anyway. So that's what he's talking about. That's a great thing to talk about in your home. Hey, are we paying attention? What's going on? I don't think you're paying attention. That's why the attitude is in your heart. That's not wisdom. We're look carefully. Walk not unwise, but wise. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says this, according to the grace of God, which was given me, the Apostle Paul is saying, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation to our home. It's the only foundation of our homes that God wants us to build. The truth of Christ and our relationship with him and what he did for us. And each of us, he says, must be careful how we build on it. If you're going to have to pay attention on how you live to be a wise master builder, you have to pay attention. You can't just put up any old thing. Whatever works keeps the rain out. You got to be a wise master builder of your family, your relationships, and how you live for and what you live for. You will not walk in love or as children of light if you don't pay attention to how you're living. It's not just a thing that you wake up in the morning and you do. It's with God that you do. Good encouragement, first principle. Second principle, make the most of your time. Look at verse 16. Look what it says. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Time here is not chronological time. This word here means opportune time, each time of opportunity. Your life in Christ, your salvation, your life in Christ is given to you by God as an opportunity to live for the light, for the Lord. It's what he called you to do, what's his purpose for you to do. It's an opportunity. It's what you're going to be. Are you going to make the most of the opportune time God has given you to live salt and light, which you are in this earth, Matthew 5. You're going to make most of it. He's not talking about doing more things. He's not talking about making the most of your opportunity. You know, I played baseball a lot, and, you know, I had a lot of instruction and teachers there. Yeah, and I wanted to make the most of the opportunity when somebody was showing me on how to field a ground ball. Nothing wrong with that. He's saying don't. He's not saying don't do that. But in this life, as us as families, we want to redeem. That's a good word. We don't want to lose the opportunity God has given us to encourage each other, to grow, to share Christ, all of those kind of things. Every day in your family's relationships, there are many, many, many opportune times to instruct, to teach, to encourage as you walk in love and children of light. This verse here instructs us to redeem those times. Do not miss them. So there's an opportunity for two young people today, under 12, two young people. If you will notice up here, you want to walk in love and you want to be a light for us today, there's an opportunity. Who's going to seize the opportunity, come up here and love us and pick up these? Come on, which two is going to come up here? There we go. There we go. Let me hand you those. Go ahead and sweep those up for us, you know, because that's the love of God, right? To love us today, right? And to serve us today and be a light of Christ. They didn't make the mess, did they? Pastor Ken made the mess, right? But you know what? Thank you for loving me, you guys. Here's some dustpans, and you guys pick those up, right? We'll let them just do that as they talk. Go ahead and keep sweeping that, you guys. Great job. Great job. Let me get their gifts out so when they're done, they can get their gifts. Okay, we got two more for them. So they're doing it. You know what? How many times every day do you have an opportunity to walk in love and just do something for somebody that's in your life without somebody saying, can you go do that, please? Or being a light of Christ and just doing it because it's the right thing to do. We were at Lowe's yesterday. We're helping my oldest daughter got married 3 weeks ago. And they're moving into a home, and so we were over there helping them move, and you know how fun that is, right? What an opportunity that was. But anyway, we're at Lowe's, and we're there, and here's this gentleman and wife, and they're loading something heavy in the back of their truck, and I look over, and I say, hey, can I help you? Sure. He just had heart bypass surgery. He's going to try to do this alone. I'm like, no, here, let me do it. Like, it was just an opportunity. And then you always see to love somebody, and then you connect it with the light. And then they say, you know, they go, praise God. And I said, absolutely. They said, God is such a blessing. I said, absolutely. So it became an encouragement to me that here I was available. You know, I'm going to Lowe's. We're going to fix some things. You know, I can get pretty focused. Ask Krista about that. I can get, like, generated to, like, get out of the way, everybody. I got to get all this stuff and fix the house, right? But, you know, I was in this message, and God says, here's an opportunity. In fact, I was struggling even going there and helping. Like, I got stuff to do at home. Maybe I won't go. And then it was like God said, oh, yeah, you embrace that opportunity. Don't go. Life is this way, you guys. This is the way life is. And if you're not paying attention, and if you're not here to make the most of the opportunity, you know what you're doing? You're just walking all over everything and missing everything that's there. What a great job. Give them a big round of applause. That's good, you guys. Look, they're going to get everyone. Look at that. That's a light right there, right? Going to get everyone. Good job. You guys can grab your gift. Let's just leave the brooms right here. Gifts right over there. Look, they did that the whole time I was talking. Good job, you guys. There's another thing. The Lord recognizes what's going on, right? They didn't really need my recognition the whole time and, you know, and encouragement. That's such a great, you know. Heather, it's good to be encouraged in your heart. Your kids got up and just helped, right? There was a gift. You know why there's gifts? Because I didn't want to do this whole message and nobody participate, man. I was like, oh, okay. You know, but no, this is good, right? Hey, let me give you another opportunity. If you're under 16, let me give you an opportunity. Has there been any verses, anything in God's word that you've been in, you know, and that really meant something to you and something that, you know, you just have seen an opportune thing in God's word that has just helped you? You could look it up or you could share it with us. You know, anybody 16 and under, and it could be anything the Lord has been doing. You have something that you want to share with us today? Just holler it out. Come on, you guys. Come on, there's gifts. What's the Lord showing you guys lately? Is there a verse? Is there a principle of God? Anything that you know, just encouraged you? Maybe it was your brother and sister loving you, or mom and dad did something. What's been an opportunity lately for you? Yes, Colton, what? What's that? I get one more thing over here. What'd you say? How what he is? How mighty he is. Look at that. There we go. God's mighty, isn't he? He's amazing. He encourages us in a lot of things, right? God can do a lot, right? Look at him. Look at the gift in there. He's going like, whoa. That's a good gift in there, right? Anybody else? Who wants to share with us? Maybe it's a scripture or something that God is. Yeah, what do we have over here? One more time. God is holy? What's that mean to you, that he's holy? How's that help you? How does that help you that you know that he's holy? Help you celebrate him, praise him, right? That God's holy, he's not sinful like sometimes we are. Isn't that good? Good job, good job. I got lots of gifts. You guys can share a lot. But I got a lot of illustrations, so we can hang on to them. You know, and I don't want to take too long because I want to get to them. But you can see what we're talking about in our families right here, right? We're going to walk in love and promote us being a light for Christ. We're going to have to pay attention, be careful how we live. We're going to have to make the most of the opportunities. Life's that way. Paying attention. If you're going to build relationships, you're going to walk in love, you're going to have to embrace the times of opportunity. You know, I was coaching Cameron in his little city league baseball. It was a lot of fun. It was 4 weeks of practice, 4 weeks of games. It was really kind of cool. But we were playing this one game, and I'm not the coach. I'm just helping the two coaches. And so these two guys have kids. They each have a kid and a child in there. They're both nine. And so we're playing one game, and their children are just having a really hard time. I mean, it's just attitude, and they're pretty good baseball players, but they just don't want to be there that day. And so I'm watching these two dads, you know, in the dugout, and they're getting a little frustrated, and they're like, come on, you know, they're at their boys, and, you know, that kind of thing, you know. And so I just said, hey, what a great opportunity today. I said, this is a great opportunity to teach right here. You can correct. Yes, sometimes it's rebellion. Yes, it's just sometimes that kind of thing. But I said, it's just a great opportunity right here to get to know your nine-year-old and ask them, talk to them about what's going on in their heart. Why are they this way today? And how God's principles, how God's truth help us when we're having the hardest times in our life. I mean, we're playing baseball. And these two kids, young nine-year-old boys, are good baseball players, but they don't want to play today. So they're doing something they really like to do, but what was in their heart? What's it, you know? And so they were looking at me, well, what do you think it is? And I said, well, you know, I don't know, but I'm sure if you interact with your young one, he'll let you know really what's on his heart. And it's a great time to teach and instruct. It's an opportunity. And then it was an opportunity for me because I can share God's opportunity for his ways to infiltrate our families. That's why Jesus Christ came, to change our life, so we would encourage and nurture our children and those that are in our life into the ways of Christ. Life's opportunities, guys. We want to make the most of them. Galatians 6:10 says that, so then while we have an opportunity, let's do good to all people. Nurture that in your family relationships. Let God work in their heart to just want to do good to all people, to embrace an opportunity, to pay attention to the way they're living their life and their walk. We have to, too, as parents and as grandparents. Third principle, look at it with me, understand what the will of the Lord is. Look at verse 17. So he says this, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Pretty simple there, isn't it? Proverbs 14:8 says this, the wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way. Do you understand your way? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is for your way? Do you understand the Lord's way that for us? There's a will of the Lord that is clear in the Word of God, a will that he has for our life. He wants us to understand it. The relationships, in our relationships, it's vitally important for us to understand what God's will is for them. So let me ask, 16 to 20, or 12 to 25-year-olds, another gift time, okay? You guys help me. All you have to do is share with me what you know. What is the will of the Lord for you? What do you know the will of the Lord is for you? Raise your hand so we can, what's the will of the Lord for you? What's God's will for you? I'll walk on over there. I gotta bring gifts, so. What is God's will for you? Help me, Dad, what'd she say? What's the will of the Lord for you? To be strong? To be faithful in God? That's God's will for you, to be strong, faithful, right? Would it be following him, right? That's good for me, I like that one. I helped you with that one. Will of the Lord, how about over here? What's the will of the Lord for you guys? Come on, you guys, right here. What's the will of the Lord for you? What do you know is the will of God for you? Oh, so your parents have never taught you about what the will of the Lord is for you. They got no teaching in your home, no instruction, right? Hey, what's the will of the Lord for you? Oh, wow, this would be, yeah, to be a disciple, to be a light of Christ, tell others about Christ, good job. That's the will of the Lord for you, right? For us too, right? Who has some? What do we got? What's the will of the Lord for you? To give him glory, right? To glorify God, right? To give him all the credit, right? To worship him, that it's all about him, to give thanks for him, to glorify him. Glorify means to, it means to demonstrate the character and nature of God in the way I live. Humble, grateful, thankful, holy, all the different kind of things, right, with your life, right? That's a great thing to know and learn and understand that my life, the Lord's will for my life is to glorify God. How about, come on, there's some verses that we just talked about. What would be the first two? The will of the Lord would be to look carefully on how you walk. What else? Who else? Who else? Yes. What's the will of the Lord for you? And?
My dad.
Sometimes. That was perfect, wasn't it? Where did mom go? I saw mom. Where she goes? Did she go? All right, so you got to give that to mom, Randy. Mom gets a prize for that. It's true, right? God's, what in the world the Lord think about it? Honor him and all that you do and be a light testimony of him. I mean, it's not complicated, right? How about you parents? What's the will of the Lord for you? Come on, give me a parent. Tell me, what's the will of the Lord for you? Yeah, they're volunteering, Dad, back there. What's the will of the Lord for you?
Train up my children in the way
to go. Right? You're supposed to instruct them, right? Right? Yeah, what do you got, Samantha? What's the will of the Lord for you? It's parents.
To guide them towards what God has planned for them.
Good, that's God's will, right? I mean, we're talking about God, the creator of everything, and his will for those parents that know him. This is his want, desire, will, right? Right? The will of the Lord. For me to receive the candy gift at the church on Sunday. That's the will of the Lord. No, but you can see what we're talking about. You got to understand it, right? Because everything that you're living in this life, these choices that you're making, the things that you're doing, you can do a lot of things. You can be involved in a lot of things. He doesn't go, oh, well, you know, swimming, no, that's not his will. Hey, that's what we're talking about. What's the will of God over all of your life and everything that you do? You have to understand that. You have to accept that. You have to receive that. That's what he's meaning here. In our relationships with God, through his word and prayer, he teaches us and gives us understanding of what his will is. Romans 12:2, paraphrasing it, says, don't let the world shape you on what you live for. Let God's word teach you. And as you live God's word, his truth, you will prove that that's the will of God. That's God. That's how God's doing this. Our responsibility is to live it. Our responsibility is to submit to the Spirit's leading according to God's word. That's what's next. Look what he says what's next. You are to look carefully on how you walk, make the most of time's opportunity, be understanding what the will of the Lord is, and constantly yield to God's Spirit. That's what he says. Look at 18 through 20. And don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. What he's talking about here, we're to be constantly yielding our control of this life, what is dominating your life, to the Spirit of God. What's leading your life? What dominates your decisions? What controls you, your flesh or the Spirit of God? That's what he's saying. That's the contrast here. Don't be drunk. See, when you're drunk, you give yourself over to something else. Don't do that. Don't give it over to your flesh. Don't give it over to fame. Don't give it over to money. Don't give it over to success. Don't give it over to what the world says you to have. Don't give it. Give it over to the Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. When someone is drunk, they've given themselves their thinking and actions to alcohol. When someone is filled with the Spirit, they have given over their thoughts and actions to the Holy Spirit. Plerao is the word there in filled. It's like someone filled with anger or filled with sorrow. Their mind and actions are led by anger or sorrow. When you're totally angry, you are filled with anger, and that's just determining everything the way you see it. You're mad at this. You're upset at that. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're following the God, and you're overwhelmed with what God wants in this life. That's what he's talking about here. It's not going to a valve and open it up and getting more. You have all of the Spirit, but what is controlling and dominating your life? What are you giving your thoughts and actions over to? That's what he's talking about. So we're constantly needing to yield to God's Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. If you don't walk by the Spirit, you will live a life carrying out the desires of the flesh. There's no gray middle part. There's no, okay, well, I'm just kind of filled with me and my things or this thing or that, and I kind of walk in that, and it's kind of half. There's not. Either you walk by the Spirit of God or you walk by the flesh. You live in your life. So, everybody can be involved in this one. Who can tell me, give me a verse on what the Holy Spirit uses to lead us? What does the Holy Spirit use to lead us? Yeah. His power, he does. The power of the Holy Spirit, right? His power, the Holy Spirit, what does he do? Does he Does he convict us that that's the wrong way? Right? So he has that, right? That's a good one. I like that one. Carry that on, some of you guys. Carry on that teaching there. So how does the Holy Spirit convict us? Brings God's word to our remembrance. Absolutely. A lot of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can you catch? Yeah, you can catch. You're a big guy there. I got it. You don't want the toy. But you, no, you, your daughter's just like, you know, we need it right here. Convicted by the Holy Spirit right there. God's word led me, yes, I'll receive the gifts that Pastor Ken has coming up. Someone else had one here? How's he, anybody have a verse? Oh, you were saying go ahead. Yeah, you thought it was going to get passed around there, right? I don't think the Holy Spirit's leading. He did in the beginning of the church, didn't he? Didn't he? Because God wanted to affirm his word as the apostles were teaching his word. Good one there. Think about this for a minute. So God was wanting to affirm what these apostles were writing and teaching. So he gave them signs and wonders so it would authenticate that what they were saying was the true word of God. There was a time in the church that established. And then God fulfilled the Bible. And now we just hold up the Bible and say, these are all the truths of God's word affirmed in our heart. And so at that time, they were those. And he did that so we would know what the truth was. Here you go. I hit the guy in front of him in the head. That was spirit led, okay? You guys get what we're talking about here, right? This is so important. You know, you've got to yield to the Spirit of God. He's going to teach you in the Word of God. Will somebody read to me Colossians 3:16? Colossians 3:16. Who will read that for me? Nice and loud. Raise your hand. You're going to read it. Jake's got it. Read Colossians 3:16. So we got one verse that says if we are filled with the Spirit, we're going to do all the same things, right? We're going to speak psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, or have gratitude in our heart. Then we have another verse that says let the message of Christ, the word of Christ, richly dwell within you. You're going to do the same thing. The Holy Spirit is the author of the word of God. He's the illuminator of the word of God. Shows you in your heart and mind what is true. And we're to walk by the Holy Spirit. He's going to use the word of God. It's the word of God, God's truth always. Right, Jake? Right? That's not offending me, anybody, me throwing around gifts today, is it? Because if it is, forgive me. You know, I don't want to offend anybody. And I did not hit them in the head, I promise. But I wanted us to get involved and think about this. So what controls you? Is it the Spirit of God that you're walking by through the Word of God? And with the fruit of yielding to God's Holy Spirit, that your words would bless? Listen to it. That you'd speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to make melody in your heart to the Lord. Let me ask you, parents, would you like your home that way? So in your home that you guys are just speaking to each other with the truths of God's word and making melody in your heart to the Lord as you try to encourage each other. Now, we're all going to fall short. We're going to say bad words, but the greatest word is forgive me. Man, the God just showed me that just was negative. And you know, I just don't want to be that way. Man, that's better than getting it right all the time. Because you can see God at work in people's lives, in our families. Parents, be that. Say, wow, that was just wrong to your child to say, you know, I had such an attitude. I just wanted you to shape up and just do what I told you to do because I couldn't handle it at the moment. And you know what? God just showed me, you know, I want to instruct. I want to, you know, the Spirit of God is going to guide us to where, right? Ephesians 4:29, I can't do that. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment. So that you will give grace to those who hear. I cannot do that apart from walking by the Spirit of God. Christ in me, and me in Christ. On my own, I wouldn't even recognize that it was unwholesome half the time. But see, this is what God is doing. We got to rely on that, submit to that. 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father. Listen, you constantly yield to God's Spirit. You understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. You make most of the opportunity. You look carefully how you walk your life. You're going to recognize that it is God whom you should thank everything for. God and God alone. This didn't come to you by your great ingenuity. Yes, you can put effort into it. Yes, you can put your, you know, and do your best in it. And God wants that. But the grace of God is why you are where you're at. Grace alone, through faith alone. And it's a life of all of that. It's His generosity, His mercy. Gratitude overwhelms you when you walk by the Spirit. When you constantly yield to His Spirit to lead you, you really recognize, wow, God is absolutely incredible, and look at all that He's done. I can actually bless people in my life with the words that I share with them. Before my salvation, all I did was curse. This is the thing of God. Psalm 44:8, in God we have boasted all day long, and we give thanks to your name forever. That only comes from walking by the Spirit of God. A heart of gratitude like that in your family, to be grateful, even in the challenges, like Pastor Craig was teaching us today in Sunday school, even when things don't work out, even when things are challenged, to know that God is using that for His glory and for our good. And at the end of all of this, He will give recognition to where we stood for Him in perseverance of faith, that it wasn't about the temporal outcome. It was about the eternal value. Wow, I want that in my home, and I want to be a grandpa that says those kind of things and encourages those kind of things and recognizes that we can teach the people in our life. I want to be a helper coach. I want to be a friend. Last principle here, and we'll just look at it quickly. Order your relationships according to God's word. That's what He says, verse 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. God wants us to submit to His order of relationships. Pretty simple. We heard one of them, but let's do that one. I got two more prizes. Here we go. And so, children, let me ask you something. What is your relationship to your parents to be? What is it to be? Loving? Sure, it's to be loving. Read Ephesians 6:1. Somebody read that for me. One of you kids. What's it say you're to be there? Let's get one of these teenagers over here. What's it say for you to be?
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
So your responsibility in your relationship with your parents is to what?
Obey.
You want to say that real loud?
Obey.
Did you guys get that? Right? That's the will of the Lord for you. Caitlin, you want to read verse 2? Yeah, you can read verse 2. We'll give Caitlin a gift, right? What's the other one? Honor them, right? Pretty simple right there, right? Now let me ask you, parents. You know, okay, there we go. That's the relationship subjection, that, you know, how we're to subject. Kids are supposed to obey and honor their mom and dad. You can teach on all of that. But let me ask you, parents. Do your children know that mom and dad's relationship is the priority in the home? It's the number one relationship. Your life isn't about your kids. Your life is about the Lord and how you have a relationship with each other, and then in your relationship with each other, how you are a testimony to your children. Now, if you don't have another, God is above all of that. It's not that it only works in one way, that kind of thing, but your relationship as parents is to be the priority. Let me read something to you real quickly. If you've never read Family-Driven Faith, great book to encourage you as parents, but I want you to get this. He gives three reasons why it should be a priority in your home. First, our job as parents is to get our children grown and gone, get rid of them. Did you know that? It's to grow them up and get rid of them. That's what he says. They're going to come a day when your children leave. That's the will of the Lord. When that day comes, marriage that make the kids top priority will be hard-pressed to refocus and carry on. You're going to have a hard time in your marriage, he says. Your marriage is to display Christ's relationship to the church. That's what it's to display. It's still supposed to be committed to each other through thick and thin and everything. It's not just about getting them out or growing them up. It's about your relationship being a priority. Second one, our marriage is the foundation upon which all other aspects of family life must be built. Foundation of Christ, and then relationships, mom and dad, on how they interact. Yeah, you're great teachers by how you have a relationship. Our children need to be led by a united front. I like this. You guys, this is good. This will not happen unless we invest significant time in our relationships. Our marriage serves as a strategic command center. I like that, don't you? Strategic command center where we plan and oversee the discipleship of each of our children, its functions, as a counseling center where our children come to feel safe in the midst of a frightening world, and it functions as a laboratory where our children watch and learn what marriage is all about. Your relationship is the training ground for your children to see how you interact with each other as the priority that God has. It's a great, incredible opportunity. We want to redeem that time and have it in the right way. Third thing he says, our children will likely marry someday, and we need to realize that they're going to establish a relationship that takes precedence over all other relationships, including their relationship with mom and dad before they got married. Many of the marriage has suffered due to the failure of an unwillingness of a spouse to cut the apron strings. Often this is a result of children who have not heard the clear message from their parents about the priority of marriage today. Leave and cleave, you're going to teach that. To leave and cleave. And that God establishes a relationship as one between you two, and that you interact with mom and dad in a different way. This is building our relationships. You're as parents, it's a priority. But I want you to think as brothers and sisters. You have a responsibility. Hey, you guys back there, brothers and sisters, you're to care for each other, aren't you? That you're in each other's home, you're to be for each other, right? You're to hold each other accountable. Hey, we've learned that that's not what we're to be doing. We've learned this is what God wants us to be doing. There's a certain amount of submission that we are to take care of each other and look out for each other by God's design, brothers and sisters. Priority to watch out, to grow each other's faith in practice with each other's siblings. That's an important aspect of the home. Carries over right into the church. That's how we understand God's design for the church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. He said that and did that for a reason, so because we understand what we are to be as brothers and sisters in the home. We're to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. It's not okay to let your brother or sister crash and burn. Well, they had their own choice. Well, they had, no, we're to appeal to them. We're to encourage them. You know, if they're a little bit mischief, the one that understands that is supposed to encourage them. If they don't understand what God is doing, just like we are in the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're supposed to hold each other accountable. We're to care for each other, nurture each other, and help each other in each other's faith walk as the priority. That's what God is establishing. We're to be subject to one another in fear of Christ. Isn't our priority to do that as family? So let's conclude today. Josh, will you come on up here in the praise team? Because we got a closing song, because I want to sing to the Lord. And I'm sorry, guys, no gifts for you. Come on, Josh, you can embrace the opportunity and say, just praising the Lord is gift enough, okay? But as we conclude, these things are on your heart and mind. As we conclude today, let's all be encouraged, okay, to move forward in our family relationships. You know, every time that we dig into the Word of God and make an application like this, you know, all of us have these thoughts in our heart and mind where we kind of missed the boat or something that we've been. That's the point of digging into God's Word. That's the point. None of us get to where we're living the Word of God perfectly. That sanctification process is finished in the end, so we're all being shaped and formed and encouraged through the Word of God to change and address our lives, what we've been learning on Sunday school. But let's move forward in our family relationships. Maybe even set some new parameters or goals or even thinking about these principles. We're to look carefully in how we live. We're to make the most of time's opportunity, knowing the Lord's will for us is to be children of light for Christ and walk in love as we yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, ordering our relationships according to God's word. All the while thanking God for his glorious grace. It's a grace we get to live this life, isn't it? Did you earn this life? Raise your hand if you've earned this life. I'm not going to raise my hand. It's a gift from God, isn't it? That you can live in your family, that you get the opportunity. How all that goes is God. But is it in a glorious grace that you see the truth of God, that you understand the Word of God and His way, and that you can make the effort and live the way God wants you to live? It's a grace, isn't it? It's always a grace, and that's why we're overwhelmed with gratitude, because the Holy Spirit always shows us it's a grace. He never not, through his word, shows you, oh, it's a work earned. It's a grace. It always has been. It's a grace to have been given this life by God. Let me tell you, the lost world does not have this life. They wouldn't even understand what I said today. Let's stand and let's sing about his glorious grace, and then we'll close in prayer. Go ahead, Josh. Just said their service today to the praise of your glorious grace. That's what we do, Lord, as our closing prayers. We come to you, Lord, just praising you for the grace bestowed upon us to be children of God, children of this light. Help us, Lord, live who we are in Christ. We thank you for our opportunity today to gather, to worship you, to pray, to hear from your word, to grow one step in our relationship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.